For those who are just joining us, we've been in a fall campaign over the last 6 weeks called The Broken Way. And I can't believe that this is the final week of The Broken Way. And I know I've heard from numbers of people, especially those in the small groups, how well they've been enjoying this series and this study as we've been digging in. It's not a popular topic, is it? For those who are just joining us, it's a topic on brokenness. And how do we view brokenness? And how do we see brokenness? And what does God want to do in our lives through brokenness? That brokenness does not mean we're broken, or that we're useless, or that we're trash, or that we're garbage. And so you'll want to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 or on your device today. And like I said, it's not a popular topic. But I trust that over these last numbers of weeks, as you've been digging into this topic, as you've been discussing in your small groups, as you've been doing what the book calls the between session work, which is just a fancy word for homework, as you've been digging into that, that you've grown, that you've learned, that you've been stretched. And I know some of those between session work that you've been doing on your own is quite deep. It's asking you to really stop and reflect. And maybe you were uncomfortable with some of that, but that's okay. Because it's in our uncomfortability that the stretching happens. And as we stretch, God is able to do new things in our hearts and in our lives. And so it's been a great study that way. So Romans chapter 5, just a couple of verses. And like I said, this isn't going to be a popular topic, especially what we're looking at today. It's maybe a way of looking back over all the previous 5 weeks. It's a way of digesting all the different topics and the materials and trying to roll into some thought and finality here. And so we're looking at the words that Paul writes in the book of Romans. If you don't know the book of Romans, it's in the New Testament. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and there you are. And it's a letter that Paul wrote to the believers, the Christians in the city of Rome, who were mostly Gentile, but not totally. There was a good number of Jews in that congregation. And so he's writing to us. And in verse 3 of Romans chapter 5, it says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings." And just pause for a moment. I'm thinking, that is an atrocious phrase. We are going to glory in suffering. We're going to glory in brokenness. We're going to glory in hardships. We're going to glory in trials. But he says, we're going to glory in our sufferings. But he goes on. See, he doesn't stop there. He says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I want to unpack these verses for a little bit. And the first question that comes to my mind is this: how should we react to the experiences in life that are often adverse and difficult? This is what Paul is writing to us about. He wants to say to us, you're going to glory in your sufferings. Paul is saying to us, how do we react? How do we react to these difficult, breaking, suffering situations that we sometimes find ourselves in? What is God's view of suffering? We all face difficulties. We all face hard times. We all face difficult days. We all face brokenness in our lives. And here's what we need to understand. If we are followers of Christ, if we call ourselves Christians, if we are believers, if we are people of the Word, sometimes, we may not realize it, but sometimes, I feel that we have, or I have anyways. I won't speak for you, I can speak for me. But we have this idea that, well, I'm a Jesus person, and I live in this bubble of the glory of God, and because I'm in this place, nothing bad will ever happen to me. Because I'm a follower of Jesus, because I'm a Christian who wants to live out the Christian life, not just a Christian in name, but a Christian in being and in action. Because I read the Bible and I pray and I go to church, then God owes me something. You know, like, because I'm such a good person, nothing bad should happen in my life. And sometimes that theology, that thinking, that mindset, it creeps into who we are as Christians. And when bad things happen, it's like, wow, we've hit a brick wall. It's like I was going full force and suddenly this thing happened to me. And I don't understand, God, how you could let that happen to me. I mean, God, I'm following you. I'm serving you. But Paul is saying to us here in Romans that just because you're a follower of Christ doesn't exclude you from suffering and brokenness. And we need to get our mindsets in the right place as followers of Christ. We need to understand what is really going to happen to us in this world. I mean, Jesus himself warned us. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said these words, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Where is peace? It's in Jesus, it's not in the world. In this world, you will have trouble. Kind of hate that verse. It doesn't say, in this world, you may have trouble. But you will have trouble. For the believer, for the follower of Christ, for the Christian, you need to understand this. Trials work for you and not against you. That's what Paul is writing to us about. He says, glory in your sufferings because the trials are going to work for you and not against you. The world's view of suffering and brokenness is the fact that something is destroying us. But God says, I will use the suffering and the brokenness, the trials, the tribulations, the hardships. I will use them for your good. I will not throw them against you. What we need to understand is that suffering and hardship do not separate us from God. Instead, suffering should bring us closer to God. Because we have decided to be followers of Jesus, because we believe the word as what the word says, because our hope is in God and not in this world, God is able to take the sufferings and the brokenness that we endure in this lifetime. And God says, I'm going to turn them around for your good. God takes our brokenness. And when we give that brokenness to him, he turns it into life. Why does God do this? Because he cares for you. Because he loves you. Because God's ultimate plan is for your good. Sometimes we suffer in life because of our own bad decisions. Sometimes we bring suffering on ourselves. Sometimes we've made a bad decision. Sometimes we've, can I say it? Sometimes we've just been stupid. Sometimes we've been stupid. Sometimes we've allowed sin to control us. And while God forgives sin, sometimes sin has a consequence we cannot escape. Sometimes we suffer in life because of a decision somebody else has made. Maybe you lost your job because your company downsized and a whole bunch of people had to go. It wasn't your decision. It was somebody else's decision, but it impacted you. Sometimes it's nothing you've done. It's just a decision that somebody else has made and around you, and it impacts you. Sometimes things happen in our lives that are really no one's fault. It just happens. It just happens. You get a doctor's report, it's not because you did anything wrong. It just happens. Because we live in a sinful world that is not getting better, it's getting worse. The world wants to paint, politics wants to paint this idea that we're getting better and better and better, but the Word of God tells us we're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And sometimes life just happens in the course of life. But no matter how, no matter where your sufferings, your troubles, your hardships, your brokenness, no matter where they come from, they happen. And when suffering happens, it's not because God has stopped loving or caring for you. This is what we need to understand. That suffering and brokenness in this life is not a reflection of God's love for you. And so many times as people, we tie it together. If things are good, God's on my side. If things are bad, God is against me. But that is not what the Bible teaches us. That is not what the Christian walk is all about. I mean, when bad things happen, when we go through suffering and brokenness, sometimes our reaction is just that. Well, God, I guess you don't love me anymore. God, I guess you just weren't strong enough to prevent this from happening in my life. God, like, where are you? Like, I've served you all these years and you couldn't help me out with this situation. Sometimes we say, well, following Jesus hasn't been any good to me. I might as well just give up on him. Somewhere along the line, somewhere in this experience of life, I think somewhere where we've gone, at some way, in some sort, in some capacity, we've probably all thought something like that along the way. I know I have. Hardships came and I thought, God, like, how did this happen? Like, where were you? In the course of time, God says, I'm right where I've always been. I'm with you through the problems and through the hardships. Romans 8:39 reminds us, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God's love. No hardship, no suffering, no trial. No brokenness is bigger than God's love for you. And as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, you need to remember that when the hardships of life come at you, when those difficult things happen, when things that are beyond your control take place in your life, you need to remember God is not turned against you. God is there loving you. Glory in your sufferings doesn't mean, ready for this? Doesn't mean being glad about them. God's not saying, you know, well, just rejoice at how horrible your life is. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, in the middle of your suffering, understand what God wants to do. Understand who God is. Understand that you don't walk it alone. Understand that God's love is here for you. Glory in the sufferings. And this is why. Because suffering produces perseverance. Suffering produces perseverance. Endurance, if you don't know what the word perseverance is. And it produces endurance. It's the ability to remain strong under difficult situations without giving in. It means you might bend, but you won't break. It means you might feel like giving up, but you're not going to give up because you know better. It means you may have doubts that come in your mind, but you're going to replace those doubts with the promises and the Word of God. Perseverance. Suffering produces perseverance. James 1. Verse 3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. There it is again. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God uses your suffering in this world to help you develop perseverance. That's what he's doing. He's going to take these things that happen in our lives that were meant to possibly destroy us. And God says, I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to develop perseverance in you. The believer is encouraged to understand the value of our trials and our sufferings and our brokenness. Remember this, it is not sent by God. God does not sit in heaven and go, let's see, how can I ruin Dan's life today? I mean, do we really think that's what God says? No, but God will look down and he'll look at your life and he'll go, they're facing that. So let me make something beautiful out of something that's a mess. He takes our lives and he doesn't send the trial. God's not there to destroy you. God is always for you. He is not against you. They're not there as a punishment. How many times have we thought that? Well, this must be happening because God's punishing me. Because I made a vow to him one day and I said I'd never miss church again and I haven't gone for 17 years. Now God's punishing me. God does bring punishment for sin. I'm not saying no to that. But the reality is, God doesn't use your suffering as punishment. We're already doomed to eternal hell. God's grace, we are saved through Jesus Christ and the blood of the cross. He's made a way out. So he's not punishing us for that. He's made a way of escape. So our sufferings are used to grow our faith. Suffering produces perseverance. But Paul goes on, that's just the beginning. The next thing Paul tells us is the value of perseverance is that it develops character. As I look through the Bible, I think probably one of the greatest pictures of developing character through perseverance, and this is not a story that I would wish on anybody, even those who don't like me, is the story of Job. Job is a book in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. You'll find it somewhere around the middle. It's actually in chronological order. It happens way early on in the story of the Bible. And if you don't know the story, let me tell you very briefly. It's like 42 chapters long, so I can't read it for you. But in a nutshell, Job is a man who lived a long, long time ago. Possibly even before Abraham. That's how long it is. And he was a very wealthy man of his time. A very righteous man. A very godly man. He loved God and served God. And he just loved his family. And he was probably one of the richest men of his time, if not the richest. And riches then weren't counted by dollars in the bank or gold in a safety box, but they were counted with things like camels and sheep and cattle and servants. He had 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls, and God was pleased with his righteousness. And Satan came about to attack him, and God said, I don't know why the Bible puts this story in this narrative this way, but God said, look at Job, he's righteous, he loves me, he serves me. And Satan goes, well, of course he does. Look how blessed he is in our vernacular. Look, he's got wonderful children, a loving wife, he's got everything going for him. What's not to be happy and serve you with? And yet I'm reminded that in this life, those who are mostly well-to-do have less to do with God, but Job was the opposite. Anyway, so Satan says, let me at him. So God says, fine, just leave him alone. Don't touch him. And so in a day, in a single day, Job lost everything. There was a tornado or a hurricane. The Bible says a strong wind. All his children were together in one of their homes, and the house collapsed and killed all of them. And all the cattle got taken, and the sheep got burnt from fire from heaven, and all these things, and servants were killed, he lost it all in a day. But he didn't turn his back on God. In fact, his wife unfortunately said to him, Job, just curse God and die, be done with it. And Job said, I can't. He is my God. And then Job said these words in 23:10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Job understood the value of perseverance in his life. And Job is saying, when I persevere with God, when I get through this horrible, 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 horrible ordeal, when I come through the other side of this suffering and this brokenness, when I come through, I will be tested as gold. I will be valuable. And so Paul writes for us in Romans that perseverance develops character. And the character here that Paul is writing about is the same thing that Job was referring to. It's tested value. We would call it probably today Christian character. Not just character. You could have a good character, but God is concerned that you have a good Christian character. God is concerned that he would work in your life to build your Christian character. Christian character is molded in the endurance of suffering and troubles. It's molded. God takes the suffering and the brokenness and the pain that you're going through, and instead of turning it around to destroy you, he turns it around to build you and mold you and mold your Christian character. Your Christian character is measured by your heart, not your actions. See, people could do the right things for the wrong reasons. And that's what we do as people. As human beings, we measure people's actions. But God says, I'm not concerned foremost about your action. I'm concerned about your heart. And God knows that if he could mold our heart to be a heart after God, if he molds our heart to be a heart that follows Jesus, then the actions will automatically follow as actions that would make God happy with us. It's the motive behind the actions that God is concerned about. It's a work of the Holy Spirit on our lives. It's that we would develop the fruit of the Spirit, all of it. It's one fruit with nine parts. And we would develop each of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and that's our character. See, God is concerned with your Christian character. He's concerned that you would allow the Holy Spirit to be developed in you. God will use the sufferings of this life to develop your Christian character. Then Paul ends this discussion in Romans chapter 5. He says the godly result of suffering is hope. Remember how he wrote it? Suffering leads to perseverance, which is endurance. Perseverance leads to Christian character, and your Christian character leads to hope. What do I mean by hope? It's a word that we use all the time in the English vocabulary. Some of you have already began to say, I hope I get this for Christmas. I hope somebody thinks of getting me this. I hope that I get, I don't know, a new car, chocolates. Right, but there's this whimsical, wishful thinking kind of hope. But that's not the hope that Paul is writing about here. It's a confidence in God that God will see you through. It's a trusting God to be who God says he is. This hope is developed by learning to trust God. I wrote it this way. As your faith grows, your endurance grows. And as your perseverance grows, your faith grows. Everything's tied together. The result is as God forms your character, he forms your faith. And as you continue to trust God, your faith in him grows and your hope in him is strengthened. Your hope is centered on who God is. Your hope is centered on the promises that God has made. Your hope is centered in what God has written for us in his word. And God pours out his love in our heart so that we are encouraged. God wants to give you hope in the midst of your suffering. Just to remind you as the team comes back, God does not send suffering and trouble your way. But God uses the sufferings and the brokenness of our lives to develop his character in us. God desires to pour his love into your heart to allow you the capacity to persevere and endure so that you would trust him and have faith in him. Just invite you to just close your eyes for a moment and just stop and reflect on your life. Have you been in a place of suffering and brokenness lately? Have you been in a place where you feel that maybe God has forgotten you? Where maybe you're just not quite sure? Where you've thought maybe you're better, just give up. Like why bother going through more and more of this? Maybe you didn't understand, and it's not popular, it's not easy, it's not fun to consider suffering and brokenness. But when we see it from God's perspective, when we understand what the Holy Spirit can do, when we understand that God's first thought is, how can I help you in this and not destroy you? So maybe you've come into this place today. Maybe you're broken. You're hurting. You're suffering. I want you to know, first and foremost, God loves you. And God cares about you. I want you to know that you have not escaped God's love or his awareness of you. I want you to know that God is here for you this morning.